And this week we're going to talk about the four horsemen of the apocalypse. So we are in the book of Revelation. We're in chapter 6. Somebody let me know where that is on in the pew Bible, please. Can you hand me one of the Bibles? Because Mommy wants to actually sit through church for once. That's going to be page 192. And we're going to go through the first four seals of the seven seals that we've already talked about a little bit. So, it starts out. So, it's broken into four sections. They're each two verses apiece, right? And it's talking about the first four seals that the Lamb opens, right? And we're going to go through each of the four horsemen. We're going to talk about what they stand for and what that actually means to us as a church. Why we need to know about this and why we need to be paying attention. All right? Then I saw when the Lamb broke one of the seven seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures saying, as with a voice of thunder, "Come!" I looked, and behold, a white horse. He who sat on it had a bow, and a crown was given to him, and he went out conquering and to conquer. When he broke the second seal, I heard the second living creature saying, "Come!" And another, a red horse, went out. And to him who sat on it, it was granted to take peace from the earth, and that men would slay one another. And a great sword was given to him. When he broke the third seal, I heard the third living creature say, "Come!" I looked, and behold, a black horse. And he who sat on it had a pair of scales in his hand. I heard something like a voice in the center of the four living creatures saying, "A quart of wheat for a denarius, and three quarts of barley for a denarius, and do not damage the oil and the wine." When the Lamb broke the fourth seal, I heard the voice of a fourth living creature saying, "Come!" I looked, and behold, an ashen horse, and he who sat on it had the name of Death, and Hades was following with him. Authority was given to them over a fourth of the earth to kill with sword, with famine, with pestilence, and by the wild beasts of the earth. So we're talking about these fellas. Right? These are the four horsemen. We got the white horse, the red horse, the black horse, and the ashen horse. Right? Ashen doesn't mean white or anything like that. It means pale. So possibly tan, gray, something of that nature. Right? And kind of a pictorial representation of what we're seeing. And you'll note the fire following after the guy in the black, on the ashen horse or pale horse. Okay, so let's look at the first creature. The first creature, right, because it's, they're in order. It's crazy, right? We saw the living creatures and we talked about them, and they're not what we would think of when we think of angels. That's what these guys are, right? They're cherubim. They're angels, right? The head like a lion. It's a sign of royalty, right? We even think of it as, you know, he's the king of the jungle. So, the first creature is a lion, rider one, he's wearing a crown, right? But let's look at him, right? The head is like a lion, it reminds us of the Lion of Judah, right? The one in charge, the one overall, a number one. He's the guy we got to look to for everything, for guidance, for all of that. But it does show some form of rule, also primacy. He's the first one we talk about. Right? Also falls in line with that some form of rule going on here. The white horse. So when we see this guy on the white horse, right? You watch a cowboy movie, an old cowboy movie, the guy on the white horse with the white hat. He's the good guy. Well, we got a guy here on a white horse. He's wearing a crown.
He's a good guy.
Comes wearing the crown of a ruler, right? Hey, he's got a crown on. He must be a good dude, right? Well, he's also got a bow. Note that with the bow, it says no arrows. Mm-hmm. He's going to make a peaceful kingdom of the entire world. Wait a second. We know a guy like this. He's called the Antichrist throughout the entire rest of the book of Revelation. It's the first thing we're going to see in the line of events of these seals being broken. First thing we're going to see, one ruler over everybody. One world rule. That ruler is called the Antichrist. Okay. But no, he has a bow but no arrows. He's looking to make war, but he has no means to do it in and of himself. Right? This is the deceiver, the one who is coming to ensure that the entire world follows him rather than following God. We see him, he looks like a good guy. Right? He's going to deceive many. Many are going to follow him. They're going to be like, yeah, that's a guy I'm going to follow. All right. He's going to lead us to the promised land. Mm-hmm. So what else would be needed? He's going to have intimate knowledge of a lot of religions. He's probably going to know the Bible better than you and I. Right? So otherwise, how's he going to get people to follow him? So he's going to deceive us. This is a problem. He's the problem child of all of this. So let's look at the second writer. His head is like a calf. Calf is kind of reminiscent, or an ox, or a bull. It's reminiscent of Baal, right? One of the ancient gods of Babylon, right? Well, we've got this second rider. He's on a red horse, right? We think red, we think Mars, right? Think war, but that's what he's come to do. He's come to make war, right? And he's come to make it to where men are going to kill one another. So Jesus even says there's going to be wars and rumors of wars, right? He comes to make war. And Jesus answered and said to them, see to it that no one misleads you. Hey, there's that horse one, right? He's going to try to mislead. For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will mislead many. You'll be hearing of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not frightened, for those things must take place. But that's not yet the end. We're only at the second seal. For the nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and in various places there will be famines and earthquakes. We're going to get to him in a second. But all these things are merely the beginning of birth pangs. Meaning it's the beginning of the end. It's not the end yet. We're not there. So is it close? Yeah, sure. Signs. Right? Jesus is telling us about the signs of what is to come. What shall pass. There are wars and rumors of wars. But he says that these will start after people who are saying that they are the Christ are present. After people are following this false teacher, this false Messiah, that's when these wars and rumors of wars are really going to happen. Now we look at our world today and we say there are wars everywhere. There's rumors of wars everywhere. Yeah, but we still haven't seen sign one. So we're not yet to that end part. We got to see seal one broken first. This false Messiah coming, right? He's giving us the order of events that will take place. So we look at the condition of the earth today and we say, oh, we're at the end. Well, no, we're nearing the end, right? He says we can't look at the condition of the earth and deny that we are living towards the end of times, right? Yes, the earth is ripe for everything that Revelation talks about. When we get into talking about the witnesses being slaughtered, and that it says everyone on earth will see it. How many of us have a TV in our home? Or the internet of some form in our pocket? Right? Man, that's a good way for everyone in the world to see it. I mean, there are third world countries that have the internet on a phone with Wi-Fi everywhere. It was in Haiti and you had Wi-Fi everywhere you went. And this was 8 years ago. You had national Wi-Fi. It was crazy. But this is what we need for these things to take place. The world's getting ready for it. It's not necessarily there yet. Okay, so what do these first two things tell us? One, we have to know what God's word says. Amen. We have to. No ifs, ands, or buts about that. We have to know what God's word says. We have to seek the truth. Amen. Right? And we can't buy off on every teacher who sounds good. Because when we do that, we fall into error. Right? Well, what's God's word actually say? So, be diligent. Be diligent. Be ready at all times, knowing what's in the word, right? Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed because he accurately handling the word of truth. Don't twist it. Don't take a half a verse and say, yep, that's what I'm going to base everything off of. This is one half verse, right? Because if I take a half a verse, I can show you there is no God in the Bible. Right? That's what we need to know, is we have to accurately handle it. Not just what does it say, but what does the whole thing say? What is it all telling me? That is accurately handling the word of truth, not taking part of it and leaving the rest. Right? But we have to seek what is true. So it says, I am amazed you are so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel, which is really not another. Only there are some who are disturbing you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. There are those out there, right? They're going to bring to you something that sounds close, sounds good enough. Like I was talking about with the cults class, right? These are all offshoots of Christianity. People are like, Islam's an offshoot of Christianity? Yes, most certainly is. It affirms everything about Christ except for his being God.
Right.
It affirms nothing of the Holy Spirit, which is where it falls into error. There's also some Old Testament stuff that it twists around, you know, that the chosen son wasn't Isaac but Ishmael, you know, stuff like that. But, you know, Mormons, they sound close, but man, there's some weird stuff in there. It's the largest group of polytheists in the world. Jehovah's Witnesses, they're close. But man, they deny the deity of Christ.
You don't believe me yet.
So we, you know, there are plenty of different gospels out there. Right? What's the second book of, what's the Book of Mormon called? Another gospel of Jesus Christ. Another testament of Jesus Christ.
They complement the Bible.
It's another gospel. I mean, this is straight from hell. Because he continues and he says, if we or an angel should bring you another gospel, they are damned. They're condemned. Right? What do you call a condemned angel? Demon. Right? We got to make sure that we don't allow others to distort the gospel, that we continue seeking after the truth in everything we do.
Oh.
Bad teachers, right? We see bad teachers, see them every day, right? For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers according to their own desires and will turn away their ears from the truth and turn aside instead to myths. They won't endure sound doctrine, good teaching. That's what that really means. They won't endure good teachings. They won't endure what's in the Bible because they're going to say, oh, my teaching is better than what's in the Bible. But they're going to want their ears tickled, meaning they're going to want to hear what they want to hear. And in that, they'll accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires. We're going to go through what some of those teachings are here in a minute. But just think about that, right? They're going to want teachers who tell them, oh, this is okay. That's okay. It's not in the Bible that that's okay. And if it's not in the Bible, it's not the truth. Have to remember that our truth has to come from the one who gave it. Has to come from God himself. That is where we have to derive our truth with regards to the Gospels. Without that, We're just trying to make another truth. That doesn't work so well. Hate to tell you all that. But these people that will turn aside to myths. So let's look at number three. Creature three, he's got a face like a man. Right? The guy on the rider number three, he's a black horse. He's on the black horse. And he's got a small measure of wheat and barley, oil, right? For a large amount of money. Right? How would you feel if it cost you a full day's wage to buy a bag of sugar or a bag of flour, which is what it really talks about? Full day's wage for a bag of flour. 1/30th of your total monthly pay for one serving of flour.
Well, everybody in the house must have to go to work then.
Yeah. Right? This is saying that there's going to be famine in the land. Right? Things are going to cost way more than they need to. Right? He's got a bad scale. It's a false balance. Right? A false balance is an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. Right? So, he's going to have bad scales. Right? It's an abomination. But a just weight, that which is good, that which is right, is God's delight. That's Proverbs 11:1. Yes, Rosalind. No, no, no. We're talking this much flour will be a full day's wage. Mm-hmm. Says a quart.
Like a little 5-pound
bag. Yeah.
Which isn't very much.
How much bread are you making with that, Mom? You got a full month's worth of bread out of that?
I'm making
money. So then we're going to go further into Revelation. He says, but for the cowardly and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and immoral persons and sorcerers and idolaters and liars... Liars, and thieves. Their part will be in the lake of fire that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death.
In the church. Yeah.
Abominable and murderers and immoral persons and sorcerers and idolaters and liars. Their part is in the second death. That's what these people are. So what's a denarius? Right? So, here's a story that tells us that a denarius is a full day's wage. Right? For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. When he had agreed with laborers for a denarius for the day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And to those he said, you also go into the vineyard, and whatever's right I will give you. So they went. Again, he went about the sixth and the ninth hour, and he did the same thing. About the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing around. And he said to them, why have you been standing here idle all day long? They said to him, because no one hired us. He said to them, you go to the vineyard too. Right? So this is a 12-hour workday. Right? You got guys in the morning, at 3, at 6, at 9, and at 11 hours. Right? So that's, you know what? So probably start work at 6. So you got guys going in at 9, guys at noon, you know, guys at 3 in the afternoon, and guys at 5. And what Jesus says here is that he pays this last group a denarius. That's the day's wage he agreed on. Right? And the people who got hired at first, even though they agreed to a denarius, were pretty upset about that.
I don't know any of us that wouldn't be, though.
Well, right.
Even
but,
in today's, you know.
But what we're getting at here is the denarius is a full day's wage. That's a wage for a day's worth of work. So, here's what he says in this book, right? A full day's wage will be for flour, not much. For barley, once again, not much. For oil, once again, not much. For wine. So, when we just say that a dollar doesn't buy what it used to, we have no clue what it's talking about, right? We have yet to see that a dollar no longer buys what it used to. When a bag of flour costs, you know, $200. $250. Right? That's what this is getting to.
know, our dumb country didn't have that phrase.
Yeah. That's what it's going to come to, is this 5-pound bag of flour is going to cost you $250, $300. Now we're talking. Now a dollar doesn't buy what it used to. You get a teaspoon of flour for a dollar. So the fourth rider, you know, creature four, he announces it. He's an eagle. It's a carrion bird. That's a bird that goes and it eats and plucks it at dead things. That's what the fourth creature's head is like. It's like an eagle. The fourth rider, he's on an ashen horse. His name is Death. It says, and Hades followed with him. Now Hades, we talk about Hades every week when we do the Apostles' Creed. He descended to the dead. And on the third day, he rose again. Right? That descending to the dead, the word there is Hades. Right? But the ashen horse, it even represents an aspect of death, right? Person's pale skin is all pale, and it's, you know, that's kind of a sign that death has come about that person. Right? It's color of ash. Right? It's ashen. So we say that somebody's skin is ashen, we kind of know that they're dying or dead. Right? So, but also cremation was very common, especially amongst the poor people in the first century. Right? They'd throw them into a common grave and light it on fire.
Yeah.
It's kind of how they got rid of it, to make it to where the bodies didn't stink so bad. Right? They didn't have all these cool coffin things with seal in the fumes. They didn't bury them under 6 feet. They just kind of threw them into a pit and burned it. But it was common for those who were buried in you know, a public grave. So, Death and Hades, right? This is the middle seal, right? We're at seal 4 of 7, right? So, Death will come into the world and kill a quarter of the world by war, famine, pestilence, and wild beasts. Their purpose is to subdue the world. Get rid of those who aren't going to play. Under Seal 1's person. They're not going to play by the rules of the first person, the ruler that's coming about. It's to make it so that people will start to fall in line. Do what I say, or this is the punishment. We're going to kind of get into what that punishment looks like next week a little more. So, to kill. Right? This is the second death. We're not talking the first death here. Right? So he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes will not be hurt by the second death.
Yep.
Right? We have to continue to battle. Right? That's why I played Onward Christian Soldiers. Right? We have to continue to march forward. If we're being stagnant, we're not advancing on the enemy, then we're not overcoming anything, and we're just sitting here taking it. That's not what we're called to do. Let's look at the lessons here, right? One, we've got to be honest. Number two, we have to overcome. If we are not overcoming the world, we're in trouble, right? So this is 1 Corinthians chapter 6, it's 9 to 11, I believe. Or do you know, or do you not know, that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God?
Hey.
Period. If you are amongst the unrighteous, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. This is Paul's words, not mine. Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor the effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor the covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. These are the unrighteous. This is what God says he has anger with and against. How many churches do you know that say some of these things are okay? How many churches today are ready to receive that ruler number one who's going to bring a gospel of unrighteousness. Heard plenty of churches that are like, multiple girlfriends, multiple wives, you're fine. How many churches, put up a different gospel, forcing everybody into idolatry? Adulterers. Yeah, it's fine to get divorced multiple times. It's fine to have, a mistress on the side. How many times have we heard of pastors who are getting caught in adulterous relationships? Right? Homosexuals or thieves.
Oh, we got all day to talk about that one.
Oh, yeah. Thieves. Right? If you've ever stolen something, you're a thief.
Violator.
One who hates. Somebody who is hateful, right? So somebody who is full of hate, right? What does Jesus say about those who hate? You're a murderer. Right? That's murder in the eyes of God. If you hate another person.
What's
right? That for me? Swing, effeminate. That's a man who dresses like a woman, basically.
Transvestite.
Yeah, sure. Pretty much, right? Swindlers, those who will, hey, this is what I need. Oh, never mind. I need more now. I need more. And they keep adding on to what they need, right? They're swindling you out of your money, right? They can also swindle you out of your time. Okay. None of these people will inherit the kingdom of God. This is what's in the Bible. This isn't my words. This isn't what I think. This is what Paul says. If we are going to deny a full chapter of the New Testament, that's a problem. We've got issues. Cannot just erase part of the New Testament. That's the problem with a lot of churches today, is they're willing to just erase this thing. Say, no. It doesn't really mean homosexuals. That word wasn't actually in use at the time. Well, yeah, because it wasn't that big of an issue. But the word means the same thing. We have to be overcomers. Right? 1 Corinthians 10, 3-6. For though we walk in the flesh, yes, we are fleshly beings. We're made of flesh and blood. Guess what? We do not wage war according to the flesh. We are in a battle. Right? For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but are divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. That which is going to come against the gospel of Christ, that's what it's for. We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing, high thing, that is raised up against the knowledge of God. Those things which are against the knowledge of God and who He is. And we are taking every thought captive. Not every action, not every deed, not every want, not every desire, every thought captive to the obedience of Christ, and we are ready to punish all disobedience. Not some, not most, not a little bit, not a lot, all. Whenever your obedience is complete, right? You have to be ready to go to war, because that's what we're in. We're in a war, right? Once again, not a war according to the flesh, but a war in the spiritual realms. A deserter in the army in a time of war, do you know what their punishment is? It's death. It's death penalty. That is. So we say, God's okay. If I don't completely do everything the Bible tells me, God's okay with that. You're a deserter in a time of war. By earthly standards, the punishment is death. We have to overcome. We saw that in the seven letters. He who overcomes, I will not blot out his name. He who overcomes, I will give him the crown of righteousness. He who overcomes, I will grant him eternal life. So we've seen that we have to continue in our faith. We have to walk the walk and talk the talk. It cannot just be that we exist in it. These are the things we must do. We have to know the Bible. We have to know what it is. We must show ourselves to be an approved workman. God's calling you to work. He wants you to go forth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey all that I have commanded. We have to seek the truth. When Pilate said, "What is truth?" to Jesus, he said, "Those who follow me are following the truth." We have to continue to follow Christ in what we do on a daily basis. We have to oppose false teachers. They're out there. Oh my, they're out there. They're out there everywhere.
Oh yeah.
We have to oppose them. We have to call them out. Name some names. Paul did. John did. Peter did. They name names of those who are teaching the wrong things. Jesus does. Says they don't follow the teachings of Nicolaitans, and that's a good thing. Right? Or they do follow the teachings of Nicolaitans, and that's a bad thing. He's calling them out by name. We have to be honest in our weights and our measures. Not just in our weights and our measures, but in everything that we do. We must continue in honesty. And we have to overcome the world. The instant we sit back on our laurels and we allow the world to take over in an area of our life, we have lost the battle. We have to overcome. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning giving you thanks for this time.